You know, one of the most interesting greetings I've heard is from Fun Lola, when she comes into the room and says, hello, sinners. And, you know, it places things in perspective. Because, you know, on the one hand, we are considered saints. But on the other hand, you know, saints who realize that in all there are others who we must consider others better than ourselves. And wherever I've shared what Fun Lola sometimes says, you know, it brings a smile, but it also helps people to see, you know, that is really who we are. And God wants us to be confident, but He also wants us to have perspective. So this is my last Sunday here. Wednesday will be my last meeting. But I'd like to encourage you all to consider visiting India, because India is a pretty amazing country. Despite all, you know, its advances it's making in technology, you know, it'd be quite common to see maybe a snake on the road, a snake charmer. You'll be walking in a city and you'll see an elephant or a camel or a donkey or a goat or cows. It's part of life. And it's not, for the most part, like the Bahamas, but it's a very interesting country. And when you visit, you'll fall in love with it, or you'll hate it. But you won't be in between. But many disciples who come, you know, go back, return by becoming ambassadors to India. And if you ever come there, do give me a call and we'll try and set you up. Let's go to Luke chapter 3. And we'll pick it up in verse 3. And because my eyesight's not very good, I'd like to request someone to read verse 3 to 9.
He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all mankind will see God's salvation. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from becoming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the roots of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire.
Thank you. You know, we all know about John the Baptist's dress sense and the kind of menu that was, you know, on his dinner table. And yet here we see that when he's talking to the people, he calls them vipers, challenges them to produce fruit and repent. He tells them not to rely on who they are, on their heritage, and that if they didn't repent, they were going to go to hell. And these are people he probably met for the first time. But you know what's really interesting is their response. They all asked him, what must we do then? You know, their response could have been very different from what they said in the scriptures. And because they responded in the way they did, they created an entry point for John to penetrate their hearts. And that may be something for us to consider. You know, whether we create a pathway to our hearts that will allow someone who really loves us and who really cares for us to enter in there. And these were a very wide variety of people that he was speaking to, and he was really very direct. You know, sometimes in India we face persecution. You know, brothers and sisters get beaten up, get thrown into jail. And then what happens, what happens is it tends to cause us to get a little bit paralyzed. You know, because we become afraid and we think, you know, someone was evangelizing close to where we live and he got threatened, you know, he was surrounded by a crowd, he's in jail. And so all of us, or for the most part, many of us stop sharing our faith. And fear drives us towards paralysis. But you know, paralysis can cause walls to build up, can cause fences to be erected, and prevent, you know, entry from being made into our souls. Well, the church in London has gone through a hard time. And sometimes, and it's been really encouraging to see the baptisms, to see the restoration. I think there have been 52 this year. You know, since I came, there has been a restoration and two baptisms. And, you know, it's filled my heart with joy to stay back for the baptisms, to see Shay and Doreen and another sister who got restored. You know, just seeing that has brought a lot of warmth to my soul. But sometimes, you know, fear can cause us to get paralyzed, and that's when we need faith to overcome that fear. We also need faith, you know, because, you know, if you notice, John was preaching about repentance. And again, you know, speaking from my experience in India, I know sometimes we as disciples can fall into the trap of focusing on confession instead of repentance. And see, confession is important. Confession to people, to God, to the congregation. But the emphasis, the biblical emphasis, is on repentance. So brothers and sisters, you know, maybe it is something, you know, for us to consider where our emphasis has been. Have we been focused on repenting? Or have we, you know, because sometimes it can soothe our souls if we've confessed. And that is a starting point, but it does need to, you know, the loop does need to close, and that's where repentance comes in. I'd like us to ask ourselves if there is something that is paralyzing us today. You know, sometimes speaking about things that are very personal is not easy. And obviously, you and I, we can't go around to just about anyone and pour out our hearts. And sometimes we'll make the effort to pour out our hearts, and we might pour it out to the wrong person, or maybe to an incompetent person. And yet, we still need to keep trying. And sometimes, because we may have tried and failed and been hurt, we step back and refuse to have the faith to step forward again. And yet, you know, relationships and the Christian life is all about being able to get up, being able to show grace, being able to have faith in God and to keep moving on. It's not about looking for perfection. We'll never have, you know, people, you know, some even people who we respect deeply will have flaws. We have flaws, they'll have flaws, and yet it is about overcoming our fear and having the faith that will lead to repentance. Let's go down to verse 15 and continue reading up to verse 20. Yes.
The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, God exhorted the people and preached the good news to them.
Thank you. You know, on the course that I am on, there is a TV journalist that probably is comparable to BBC here or Sky News here in India. And sadly, you know, he feels that sometimes he has asked politicians questions which change the face of the nation. He doesn't have the humility that John has. You know, it's better for someone else to tell him, yeah, you know, you asked a very important question. But he goes around really feeling like, you know, the question he has asked has revolutionized the country. And he really believes, and why we feel sad for him is because he really believes it. But whom, you know, when you think about John, John is saying, you know, I'm not even worthy to tie his, I mean, to step down and tie the thongs of his sandals. I mean, the whatever. I mean, I'm not used the right word maybe. But John's humility was amazing. Now, interestingly, you see his dress sense was not the most appropriate. He was speaking, you know, very directly. And what do they start thinking about? Could he be the Messiah? You know, like Martin Luther King once said, he talked about the content of our character. And you know, what we see in John, it was his content that really gripped people's hearts. It wasn't, and that's what we need to focus on. We need to focus on the content that is there within our own hearts. And the reason is, because we live in a world that is focused on the externals. You know, shops are full of creams and oils and shampoos, you know. to color our hair and all kinds of things beyond imagination. And it's so easy, you know, to get caught into that trap where even as Christians we can focus on the externals and not on the internals. Now, interestingly about John made a decision not to fit in. I know that, you know, the scriptures talk to us about that we need to be a part of this world but not of this world. And Jesus was excellent in how he did it, because he could reach out to the commoner as well as to the king and everyone in between. But yet sometimes we can make so much of an effort to blend that we don't stand out. You know, as a kid I used to go visit my grandparents. It was a 22 to 24 hour long bus ride. And I used to enjoy it. I still do. But one of the things that remains with me is, in the dark when we would be riding, coming down a hill, is to look out into the distance and to see a city with lights in it. It still remains one of the most magical sensations for me, in the darkness to see light. And you know, the sin that is there in today's world is an opportunity for us to stand out and reflect God's light. So, in our circles of influence, are we beacons of light? And if not, why not? You know, so John's decision to stand out was an amazing decision. We need to invest our energies in such a way that we can influence our friends and our colleagues, but not become like our friends and colleagues. You know, there is pressure, there is constant pressure. Instead of them overwhelming us, it is God's Spirit that needs to help us to overwhelm the sin. You know, if we go down to verse 21, and if we can read verse 21 and 22 and then jump down to the last verse in chapter 3, I'll close out there. It brings me to what I'd like us to remember in terms of the communion. Rory, can you read? Could you read that? Verse 21 and 22, and then verse 30, the last verse, yeah.
And all the people were baptized, Jesus also was baptized. And while he was praying, the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven: "You are my one dear son, in you I take great delight." Verse 38.
Yeah, thanks. And you know, one more verse where in the beginning it says, when Jesus himself was about 30 years old, he began his ministry. He was the son, so it was thought of Joseph. See, it starts by saying, so it was thought of Joseph, but it ends by saying that he was the son of God. And that's something for us to remember, that Jesus is the son of God. I remember many years back, I was about to go on a vacation with my family, and I got a call at the last minute that I needed to attend an important meeting with government officials for the Village of Hope. So I sent my wife Joyce and my younger daughter ahead, and Abby, my older daughter, and I stayed back. I kept Abby with a few friends, went for the meeting. It was a successful meeting, but when I came back, I noticed that Abby's foot was, her leg had been cut, and she was bleeding. I mean, it was a deep wound. What had happened was, she tried to open the fridge, and there was a glass Coca-Cola bottle, which was flat. It rolled out, burst, and just cut her leg. And there I was, I come back from this meeting, and I see her leg full of blood. And I lifted her, carried her to the taxi. We rushed to the doctor, and I'm normally not an aggressive man, but I fought with the nurses, I fought with the doctor, and made sure she got attention. And I'll never forget what she said to me after that, because, you know, her wounds had to be stitched up. She said, "Dad, I had the wound, but I could see you feeling my pain." You know, when we sin, we pierce God's heart. We do damage to ourselves, but we pierce God's heart. And Jesus went on the cross for sin, for our sin, because of our sin. You know, it's sad that Christmas, as it is celebrated today, there seems to be no Christ in Christmas. It's just another event. And yet, Christmas holds a lot of meaning for us. And, you know, as a father, I could relate to the pain my daughter was going through because of the connection we share. And yet, you know, as a father, God looks towards us and he shares an even deeper connection with us because he's our creator. And yet sometimes, you know, we don't remember that It is our sin that keeps causing him pain. And in order to stay away from sin, I think preparation is very important. It's hugely important. Because there are some forms of sin that can be just instantaneous. Not that we want to sin, but we just fall into it. And that's why it's so vital for the preparation to be almost perfect. Because unless we prepare, we will not be able to face the challenges that lie ahead. You know, sometimes we meet people after disasters, after a tsunami or after an earthquake. And you see them just sitting. They may be just sitting there on the street, holding their head in their hands, because a disaster of phenomenal proportions has just hit them, and they don't know what to do. If something happens to us today, will it crush us? Will it destroy our faith? See, we go through life thinking that nothing will happen to us, or hoping nothing will happen to us. And yet something might. And if we don't start the preparation now when everything is fine, or when most things are fine, suddenly when disaster strikes, it could catch us off balance and we may not be able to get up. And that's why preparation is important. So brothers and sisters, that's where I'd like to close. And just to summarize, I think I'd like to urge all of us, myself included, to create an atmosphere that allows the right people to enter our hearts. Let's have the faith to overcome the fears that hold us back, the things that paralyze us. And also let us make the decision to crush sin because of how much it hurts God and because it pierces God's heart. Thank you for giving me this opportunity.